Well, we're wrapping up our Seven Habits of Jesus series today with that seventh habit of caring for others in creation. And we want to start and look at two different places. One is John 13, 31. It's on page 763 in your Pew Bibles, if you have that. It says, when he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. But a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And going back, talking about the care of creation, when we go back to Genesis chapter 2, a lot of people don't realize that when Adam was in the garden, he was expected to work, to till and keep the garden. We just think he hung around and God would just provide for him and he'd laze around all day. And that's not what the Bible tells us. Even from the beginning, work was part of God's plan for us. And so if we look in verses 15 to 20, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each creature, that was its name. And so the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. So like I said, this is the last of our seven habits, caring for others and creation with Christ's love. The 14th chapter of John, he tells us that those who abide in me will bear much fruit. And I think it's very important that this last habit, caring, is the last habit. Because you have to have a foundation before you can care with the love of Christ. And that's why those other habits that we have, what are the things that we do that empower us with the love of Christ so that we are not being asked, go out there and love and work and do things, but really we're being asked, love one another as I have loved you. And so we started, you know, remember your baptism. Remember who you are. Claim your identity in Christ. Then listen to God's word of both law and gospel. You know, pray to God. Be in communion, in communication with God. Prepare for worship. Be here in worship. One of those habits that we get in that forms our lives. And it's as we develop those habits that then comes finally that habit of caring for others. You know, if it's not based properly, you burn out, or you'll be limited in who you care for and how you'll care for. And you know, I couldn't help but think of how that is, again, the foundation, all those other things that prepare us to care for others, and it's kind of like painting a house. I remember as a kid, that was the project every summer. My mother made sure that we painted another part of the house. And of course, as kids, we're just ready, you know, I got my brush, I'm ready to paint. And then you go, no, 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 no. You know, the real work is all in the preparation. First, you have to take everything down off the walls. If there are holes or cracks, you got to repair them. You got to clean the wall. You got to tape around the sides you don't want. You got to put down the, man, this is too much work. The painting takes no time at all. It's all in the preparation. But if you don't do all the preparing, you got a mess on your hands. And probably most of us have been there where you didn't take the time for the prep. We're just going to touch up something. That's when you get paint on the rug, that you get paint where you don't want it because you didn't take the time to prepare. And these seven habits, before we start to say, I need to do something, we need to prepare. Prepare ourselves in our relationship with Christ. So that's the key. You know, if you haven't been here for all those habits of establishing, you know, our relationship with Christ in prayer, in Bible study, in worship, in claiming our identity of Christ, that's all the preparation, just like preparing to paint a room. And then when everything's prepared, then we'll let that love of Christ flow out of us to others. But it's not like we have to do it on our own. It's loving others as we have first been loved. Now, Schmalzley goes on in his book to talk about the four qualities of what he calls godly love or caring for others. And the first quality he has is inclusiveness, that the love of God is for all people. And that runs counter to our normal way of doing things. We love family members. We love friends. Maybe you care for those who are around you, but God says we are to love all people. Jesus even says we're to love whom? Our enemies. Whoa! You know, that's probably, when we talk about love, where most even Christians need to grow is to say, not just love those who love me, not just love those who are nice to me, but love as God loved. Love and serve those who are in need without worrying about who they are, even if they're your enemy. You know, Matthew tells us this is the way God is. He tells us God sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike. God doesn't say, well, I'm only going to give rain to the just. Well, maybe that's with California. Maybe that's what he's doing. Is he withholding California? I don't know about that state. But the rain on the just and the unjust alike. He doesn't withhold it. He doesn't give you blessings because you're good. He loves all of his creation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, not just for those who are worthy of his love. And so one of the things we need to learn about love and caring is it's for whomever is in need. It is all inclusive. You know, that's one of the great things about the Gideons. You know, when they hand out Bibles, it's to everybody, every place that they can, that all might come to know the saving love of Jesus Christ. And I love one of the images that he had was that of a shade tree. He said, if there's a big elm tree, the tree doesn't say, oh, I'm not going to give shade to certain people and only others. Its shade is there for whomever to enjoy. And so God, when he calls us to love, that command, love one another as I have loved you, we need to realize first and foremost, it is inclusive. You know, one of the things I love about our Lutheran church and its work in Nepal, our daughter spent a semester in Nepal. And when she was there, one of the things she said is, you know, the Lutherans are one of the ones that have always been in Nepal and active there, present. And we're on the ground now following those earthquakes. It's primarily a Buddhist and Hindu nation. And while we want them to know Christ, it doesn't matter whether they're Christian or not. We're there to help people who are in need. That's the nature of God's love, to reach out to whomever is in need. The second quality of love in his book is graciousness. Graciousness. Love that gives with nothing in return. Again, that's what the Gideons are doing, whether it's to students or to soldiers or to different staffs or in a motel, just give, no strings attached, you know, so that people may know Christ and his love. And so just to be gracious, unconditional love. And similar to that is selflessness. And there he uses the example of a rose. And he says a rose has a fragrance, you know, and it sends that fragrance out whether anybody smells it or not. Whether anybody appreciates, still the rose is given out selflessly because that's what a rose does. And he says, as Christians, that's what we're created to do. The command, love as I have loved you. And when we've done all those other things, laid that foundation in Christ, that's the nature of Christ that flows out to others, to be selfless. You know, I can't help but think about our food pantry. You know, some days there are days when people come in and they are so thankful. Thank you for this food. It's really made a difference, you know. I wouldn't make it through the end of the month. Thank you. We're so, God bless you for what you're doing. Those are days you feel real good about doing the food bank. But there are those days when people come in, what is this? But I don't like Cheerios. I wanted Fruit Loops. Don't you have any Fruit Loops in your bag? Well, I don't like chunky peanut butter. I wanted smooth peanut butter. Don't you have any? And it is amazing sometimes when you just go, seriously? Seriously? And then they'll just sit there, no, don't want that, and go out grumbling and complaining. But love says, we give it whether they're thankful or not. Makes us feel better if they're thankful, obviously. And there are some of those days it tries my patience when some of the people come in and complain the way they do. Well, what do you mean? I can't come in twice a month. I want to come in every week. But we give. And we give selflessly. And it doesn't matter whether the people are thankful for or not. We've never withheld a bag from somebody because they moaned and complained about it. You still get the bag because that's what we're here to do. And so it's selfless. You know, so often, you know, have we found ourselves, you know, when you've given a gift and the gift you got back wasn't as nice, so the next Christmas, well, I'm not going to give them a nice gift again because look what they gave me last year. You know, as humans, we don't always give graciously, give selflessly as God does. But that's the call. That's when we know we're loving like God does. When, again, no strings attached. And then finally is giving freely, that we are not to coerce people into believing or following Jesus. We are to share, but to give freely. You know, the church has made its mistakes over the years. I think back in, you know, when Columbus came to South America, many of the Spanish missionaries, you know, forced the Indians either be baptized or die. You know, the Inquisition in Europe, you know, either be a faithful Roman Catholic or die. Those were not our better days. The Crusades going over there, either be a Christian or die. And we've realized that's not what God calls us to do. That we offer those things, we share the gospel, we want all people to know Christ as we have known him, but in freedom, in freedom. So love is, that is love is given free. But the whole thing is to look at the habits that we have, habits of caring, whether it's caring for others or caring for creation. You know, one of those habits that I think that's in our group is the Red Hatters of making cards that go to shut-ins and people who are sick. You know, as many of those, especially many of the people in the Red Hatters are older, limited in what they can do, but this has become a habit. You know, Bea Baker, one of our members, she moved down to Irvine. One of her habits was just to write every week. She would write letters of encouragement to people. It was a habit that one can do. And so this whole series has been, what are the habits that we do of care? And it can be as simple as writing a letter, looking after somebody who isn't around. It can be the habit of preparing a meal for ship. Every couple of months we host. You know, there are certain ones that you know when you go out there, that's one of their habits. They like to cook and they like to prepare a meal and they do it as a way of service. The key is, there's a million different things you can do, but it's whatever you do, creating a habit so it just comes as part of who we are, part of our identity. You know, and as we told the kids, there are good habits and there are bad habits. But how do we do things over and over again so that God's care is shown in our community. And what I loved about this text was it's not just caring for others, which is mostly what we talk about in the church, but caring for creation. And going back to Genesis was that whole thing of part of our Christian faith is God created this world good. We have messed it up. We are fallen. But part of our ministry is how do we care for God's good creation? You know, how do we pray it in the Lord's Prayer all the time, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, how do we take care of earth so that it's reflective of the way that God originally made it in the Garden of Eden? You know, what would it look like, you know, if we cared for creation? And, you know, in California, that might mean preserving water. You know, not just because it's politically or mandated, but it's good stewardship, keeping the resources God has made for us. Or one of my things that I've encouraged for this church is solar panels, not just for the economics of it, but that we produce eco-friendly energy as a way that cares for the creation around us. Or recycling, you know, the men's group recycles things, but we also have bins in the church where we recycle our paper. We try to make the world a better place. It's not just a political issue, a liberal or, you know, issue. It's an issue of faith, caring for this creation that God has given us. Because when God made it, he said, it's good. When we look out, it's not always good. How can we recapture our creation as good the way God made it? And again, God put us on this earth, Adam, to be in the garden, to till it and to keep it. And so that's part of from the very beginning when in paradise was the idea of not just use it or abuse it, but till it and keep it, make it good. And another aspect of that caring for creation is caring for animals. That's one of the things we're called to do. You know, in fact, that was in that chapter there when Adam names the animals, there is that sense of relationship with the animals. You know, when you name an animal, you think of a pet, you know, and how you would try to treat a pet. And God says, we're not just here to dominate the earth, but to even care for the animals, to care for the earth, and have that relationship with them. And so this last of the seven habits is one that is built on the foundation of Christ, built on all those other habits, that once we have that relationship in him, it is then and only then that out of that relationship we begin to care for others. That's what we normally talk the most about in church, but also to remember God calls us to care for creation, to be good stewards of this good earth that he handed down to us. And so I hope that you'll take a time to think, what are habits that I can have in my life? You know, and with this whole series every week, we suggested habits as simple as when you get up in the morning saying, I am baptized, I am a child of God, thinking of baptism when you're interacting with water, of being more conscious of, you know, circling or underlying scripture to say, what is it that is law? What is it that is gospel? But think of the habits that you have that can change you for the best. And usually they're just simple little things. It's amazing. It's the little habit of praising God each day. It's that little habit of taking time either in the morning or the evening to remember Christ that begins to change us. Or even a little habit of recycling that begins to say, not just because I want to make money from aluminum cans, but because I want to care for this creation that God gave to me that was good. So you already have many habits that you have already. I just pray now that God will strengthen you so that the little things you do in life may draw him closer to you that you may live as his child in this world. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we all have habits, things we like to do, things we avoid doing, good and bad. Help us to take a good look at our lives. Because, Lord, there is room for growth for all of us. And help each person here find at least one thing, one habit to have in service, in prayer, in worship, in study. One small habit that will draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.